Well, if you can make your way to your seats, we'll go ahead and get started. So I'll turn off my blinking light so I don't give anyone like what's it called? When you have that affliction to blinking lights and stuff like that?
Migraine.
Yeah, whatever. Migraine. Okay, whatever. We're going to go ahead and continue on our series of sermon called The Message today with a message of love. There's in the Advent wreath, there is four candles. Three of them are always one color, and the fourth one is a different color. They're usually pink. Sometimes there's four white and one, or three white and one purple, but in this case, we chose to do purple and pink. And then the center candle, of course, is the Christ candle. The pink candle represents love, and it's always that candle that is separated from everyone else because love is something that binds the whole message of Jesus together into one thing. When we look at Scripture, we have to understand that love is critical to the message of Christmas. Love is critical to the message of Christ. And in fact, to understand the message of Christmas, to understand the message of love that Jesus brings to this earth, you have to understand who is called the author of love. Now, oftentimes in marriages, I'll talk about this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. Well, let's be honest, all the verses in the Bible are my favorite, but this is one of these ones that I particularly like. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be reading in verse 7. Over the 18 years as a pastor, I've preached many times on love. Sometimes there's the biblical differences of love. For example, there is the phileo love, which is known as the brotherly love, often called Philadelphia, or the name Philadelphia, the city Philadelphia, the brotherly love came from that. There's also other words, the eros love that often a husband and wife feel, the intimacy love that you have between the two. There's also many different versions of love. One of the greatest, though, is what's called agape love. Agape love is the love that God brings for us. There is nothing that he expects back from us in that love. He just gives that love out of, it's the perfect love, if you will. I have often talked about love in many different ways. Sometimes the love between a husband and wife, sometimes it's between family members, sometimes it's between what's going on in the world around us. But as I said last week, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit is what we're known for as Christians. But if joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, then love is the tree that the fruit grows upon. Amen. Love is what God has brought down to us. God is the known as, and we'll read this in a moment, he is the author of love. He is the one who created love, if you will. When it comes to Christmas, one cannot help but feel the love. I don't know about you, but when at Christmas time, there just seems people are just generally more loving. And that's not because they bring gifts. It's not because they, provide those types of things. It just seems like sometimes during Christmas time, we forget our differences. We forget the problems of the world, and we just seem to come together in that version of love. I also understand that sometimes at Christmas time, there may be a loss of a loved one. Or sometimes we're still in those arguments with family members. And love can't always be felt at this time of the year. Sometimes it's a very difficult time of the year. I have mentioned this before, but I am part of a system of pastors across the United States called GLOO, and G-L-O-O, and what happens is they actually send us, stop your laughing back there, you two. There's an inside story. Elena and Corey know about this, but we're not going to bring that up today. But I often get messages from them. They go online and they fill out the submission form, and then based upon their zip code, it gets sent to pastors in their community. And I will tell you, probably almost, if not 100% of them, very close to 100% of the ones I've received in the last 3 to 4 weeks have been depression. This time of year brings out the best, But it also brings out the worst. And it's that season, if you will. It's that season we all expect everything to go perfect. Sometimes our finances aren't where they are. Sometimes things are just more difficult. And we find that this time of the year can either be the most loving time or it can be the most difficult time. So many people go great lengths to buy gifts and make sure that their loved ones feel loved. Do you know that a gift is nice, but it doesn't actually show love? Love is given by the heart. Love is given by the person who gives that gift. And the reason why gifts are so well received and the gifts are so well brought upon is because it's the love that you feel. If you don't love someone, you walk up to them and say, "Hey, Mike, here, I got a gift for you. I don't really like it, but here." How's he going to feel, right? He's going to be like, "Oh, great, thanks. If it's a really expensive gift, I don't care what you, if you like it or not, just give it to me, right?" No, I'm kidding. The truth of the matter is the love that we have for that person enhances the gift that you're giving. And so I remember when my kids were small, and my daughter got me the very first Christmas present she ever got. Now, I know my wife went out and had a lot to do with this, right? But the gift that she brought to me was a t-shirt, and on the t-shirt it had her handprints and her feet print and had all of these things. And in her best print that she could do at like age 4 or 5, I think it was, she wrote her name. Now, I still have that t-shirt. It's the ugliest t-shirt I've ever had in my whole entire life. Sorry, Becca, if you're watching online. But it is still something I hold very dear to my heart because it was given out of love for my daughters, or for my daughter and my son. My son did the same thing, but his was a little bit more stylish because he was a little bit older. So, but it doesn't matter what is given if the intent of the heart is true. To fully understand, you know, I often laugh, and the memes are out there and the jokes are out there that oftentimes, you know, I saw one the other day, Lane and I were joking about this. "Hold on, guys, Christmas time is coming." It has the gentleman in a pair of underwear that has holes everywhere and his socks, his toes are sticking through the socks, you know. And there's a joke about that, right? That is funny. But at the same time, it's just in love. It's okay for us to receive underwear and socks for Christmas because it's done in love. From the people that love us. If you have your Bibles again, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us." Now, I wanted to honor Pastor Chaz a little bit, so I'm reading from the New King James Version of this passage, because specifically I love the word propitiation, and I had to include that in the sermon. So we'll get to what that means in a moment. But let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love towards us, your guidance, your protection in this season, and what it means for all of us here, Father. Lord, we thank you for family, we thank you for friends, we thank you for just this season that we can celebrate together. And even though it may not always seem the most wonderful time of the year, because we may be struggling, Lord, may we feel the love that only comes from you, and how you loved us so much so that you gave your only begotten Son for us. And so, Lord, we pray today that you help us to grasp a hold of this meaning of love, that you help us to understand through you, the author of love, what it is like not only to feel that love from you, but also to give that love to those here on this earth. Lord, bless us. Holy Spirit, come and open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears. Help us to feel your presence all around us, your guidance. Help us to understand these messages and give us the wisdom and the truth that can only come from you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you will do. I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This verse begins to tell us who God is. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God. For love is of God. I think the ESV might say that he is the author of love, but either way you look at it, there is this idea that love comes from God. Love is who God is. God loves. Now, if you were born in the Old Testament time, you would see both the justice, you would see the love and the justice of God. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes we would see God punishing the people for what they've done. Or protecting the people. That was God. God is both just, but he's also loving at the same time. Thankfully, you and I have been born in the time of what is called the grace of Jesus Christ. He became our propitiation. He became our sacrifice. He became our fulfillment of the debt that we had for God. Our debt is the sin that it was brought that we brought upon ourselves. Now, I often hear people say, well, you know, if Adam and Eve would have just stayed away from that tree, we would have all been okay. Truth of the matter is that's not truth at all. Because every single one of us in this room sin every single day. And it is more easier for us to sin because of what happened that unfaithful day where Adam and Eve ate of that tree. But the truth of the matter is that you today have as much opportunity not to sin as Adam and Eve did on that day. They chose to listen to Satan and unfortunately eat of that tree, and sin entered into the world. And so there was a debt that was made, because God is this loving God who provided a perfect place for Adam and Eve. It was called the Garden of Eden. It was a beautiful place. And from that time period to today, God has been trying to restore that perfect location for you and I. And how did he do that? He did that through his son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth. Now, it's not just a baby, as Corey said. I was laughing about that, Corey, because of the things you're saying are all true, Corey. Absolutely true. But because the baby means a lot. You have to be born as a baby to become a man with a beard. But it's not just that. He didn't just stay in that manger. He didn't just stay there. He grew up. And he walked this earth. And he was the only sinless man to walk this earth. He was the only one that was faced with lust, faced with arguments, faced with anger, faced with all of these things. And yet he denied them every step of the way and was the sinless representation of God on this earth in the form of a man who would die on the cross and take upon all of our sins because he loved us so much. If God is the author of love, though, we have to understand that, again, not only through what he's done in Jesus, is that he wants to restore the love that you and I have for him. That is why Jesus came to this earth. That is why Jesus is here upon, or came to this place and was born, and we celebrate his birth at Christmas time. If God is love, then we have to understand that by following him, we are following and should be loving. So when we love someone close to us, when we love our neighbor, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, as scripture says, when we love family members that are quote unquote unlovable, we all have them, let's be honest. Difficult, right? When we love people that don't deserve to be loved, what are we doing? We're sharing a little bit of who God is. We're sharing God with those people. It is why one of my favorite things to do is outreaches. You know, yesterday, Lane and I passed out toys to families from the Christmas in our town. We figured out it was 45 kids that we served in our community. Less family members, right? So some families had actually 8 kids. So there's quite a few there. But I love doing that. Why do I love doing that? Because it's sharing God's love with them at a time of the season when they may not get that. And we hear that from people that were coming to pick up the gifts. This is, you don't know what this means to me. Yeah, we probably don't because we're not in your shoes. And they would share with us just the stories, and some of them are laid off, and some of them are having difficulties for health issues, and all of these other things were going on. And yet we were able to help provide and help do those things. The truth is that God is love, and if God is love, and he is the author of love, because that's what 1 John 4, 7-12 tells us, that he is the author of love. He is the one that came to this earth, and through the propitiation of sins, I'm going to keep saying that just because it's so awesome, through the sacrifice that he made, he gave us a way to have our sins forgiven and shared the ultimate love with us. So as Christians, if you're here today and you've given your life to Christ, you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, you've repented of those sins, you've turned away, and you're walking towards him, then what you are doing is you're taking on the author of love. You are given the opportunity to share the love that God brings to you. And that opportunity to share that love is that when you go and you love someone, if God is the author of love, then you share that love with someone, then what are you doing? You're sharing God with that person. The opposite is also true. We know that sin entered into this world because Satan tempted Adam and Eve. Sin enters into our life because we are tempted to not follow God. And so if we are angry at someone, if we are disappointed, if we are sinful towards something, then what are we doing? We are not sharing God. We're actually sharing something that was created by the devil with that person. And so we have to be very careful about that. That's why Jesus, one of the main themes that he preached about when he was here on this earth is reconciliation, loving your neighbors, loving your brothers and sisters. Why? Because he wants to share God with those people and not share the anger with those people. When you are not reconciled, when you're keeping a hold of that anger, keeping all of those things, what happens? You're not sharing love. You're not sharing Christ with them. Instead, you're sharing the sin that has entered into that relationship, the sin that has entered into you with them. We have to be very understanding that God is love, that everything we do out of love or is done to us out of love means it is an example of God in our lives. But the opposite is also true. This overwhelmed me when I was writing this sermon. I was sitting here thinking about this, and I began to think about all the times that I was angry at somebody. All the times that I got angry at a friend, or angry at my wife, or angry at my kids, or angry at all those things. And I began to think about that and say, instead of pausing and dealing with my own anger internally, what did I do? I allowed it to blurt out. And so what I should do is, and what we all should do is stop and say, okay, listen, I know I'm angry. Anger is a feeling, is something that we don't want to share. It's okay to be disappointed, right? God was disappointed in us, quite honestly. Jesus was disappointed in his disciples when they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Disappointment and anger are two different things. Anger is an overwhelming feeling that causes your mind to shut down. Disappointment is something where you're just disappointed. It's a feeling. And so when we understand that, when we get to that place, we have to understand that we have a choice in our anger. If we allow our anger to run wild, what do? We are allowing something. We are choosing to follow not God. We are choosing to follow Satan, actually, in that time frame. I had a friend ask me very recently. He's like, how come it feels as a Christian that I'm always doormat. Yeah, thank you. And he goes, as a Christian, I feel like every time, you know, someone does something to me, I'm just supposed to suck it up and say, oh, it's okay, and walk away. I said, no, you're supposed to learn from that situation. And we're supposed to be careful, but we still share love with that person. Do you know the greatest person in your life right now, the very person that you're having the most difficulty with, the person that's causing you the most anger, causing the most problem, the person that makes your blood boil right now, is still loved by God. That includes politicians, by the way. I got to be honest with you, right? I got to speak the truth. You may not be, how can I say this? You may not be approving of their actions. They may be doing something that is wrong and is indifferent. And be, you know, by the way, let me say this too. Loving someone doesn't mean that you're quiet when they do something wrong. Loving someone is when they're doing something wrong, you lovingly tell them that they're doing something wrong and you help them in that situation. It's okay to call out someone's actions if it's done in a loving way. If someone does something to you and you go, how stupid can you be? I can't believe you do that. Is that the way to call it out? No, not at all. Take a brother or sister by their shoulder, put your arm around them and say, hey, I love you. But the way you responded there was wrong. Just think about that for a moment. If we would take care of our issues in our life that way, how much different would our lives be? If we chose to deal with the situations in our life in love instead of out of anger, how different would it be? How different would wars, how different would politics, how different would relationships and families be if we just sit down with each other and we're open enough on each side to have a discussion and say, you know I love you, and so therefore this is coming out of love, but I need to tell you something. We need to have this discussion. And you do it in a way that is peaceful, loving, and truthful. Instead, what do? We get mad, we get offended, and we walk away. And we either separate ourselves completely, or worse yet, what we do is we start to gossip and we start to tell people how bad that person is and what this person did and blah, 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 and all of those other things. If we would just take a deep breath and deal with these things out of love, we'd be so much better. John 3:16. I'm sure you all know this verse. You probably all heard this verse, seen this verse at sporting events, written on people's eyes, athletes' eyes, underneath their eyes, you know, in that little tape and stuff. We see John 3:16. And we all know this, but let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now I want you to understand this for a moment. We all know this verse in terms of our salvation. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you probably heard this verse and you probably gave your life to Christ based upon that verse. Or somehow that verse played a part in your life in coming to Christ. But the truth of the matter is that we see in two things. The very first part is this, for God so loved the world. Do you know that God so loved us that he was willing to forgive us of our sins? Think about the people that you're holding grudges against right now. Think about the people that you are disliking right now. Do you love them enough to forgive them? Because what they did to you is nothing compared to what we've done to God. And you can hear a pin drop, right? The truth of the matter is that if we look hard enough, we have denied God. We have done everything we can against him. We have done everything that we could. We have chosen not to follow his ways in certain things. We have chosen not to believe his word that's written in scripture. We have chosen to do all of these things. And yet, he still loves us. Flip the coin. And do we do the same to the people around us? Do we love the people around us so much so that we're willing to forgive them of the sins, of the things they've did against us? This is a difficult subject. This is a difficult thing. Love is so easy to accept. I laugh because I've heard third graders this past week as we were going to the school to deliver food bags. We're walking down and I heard this little boy and this little girl. They couldn't have been more than third grade. They're walking down the hallway and the little girl turns to the boy and goes, I love you. And the boy goes, what? And unfortunately, I wanted to follow them to hear the rest of the conversation, but I couldn't because then I would have been a creep, right? Why does this creep follow me? But I laugh to myself because I'm thinking today, in third grade, do we really love someone in third grade? No, we like them, right? You may appreciate them. You may like the things, but do we understand this idea of love? Well, probably, yes, we do, you know? But do we understand love as in what we understand between a husband and wife in third grade? No, you don't. But God so loved us that he was willing to give his only son. Why? Why would he give his son to us? Sinful, mean, denying, turning our heads against him, doing everything we could against him, yet he still loved us. And not only did he give his only son, but he gave it to us so that we should not perish and that we could live forever with him in eternity. That's an amazing thing. And then the very next verse, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I want you to understand this. God did not send Jesus to condemn us. God sent Jesus to love us. The author of love in the form of Jesus came to this earth not to condemn you for the sins that you've done. No one, Jesus has never, you know who condemns us of our sins? Satan. He's the one that gets in your ear when you've made a mistake and says, look, I can't believe what you've done. And you call yourself a Christian. You're such a bad representation of Christ. I can't believe you've done that. That's Satan. That's not God. God says that he forgives us when we repent of our sins. God forgives us and our sins are as far from the east as is from the west. That they're at the bottom of the ocean. He doesn't remember those sins when we have asked him for forgiveness. When we've repented. Why? Because God is love. He loves us. Satan is not. Verse 18 goes on to say, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The very matter here that John is telling to us and Jesus is fulfilling for us is that God has loved us so much so that he gave his only Son in, now understand that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is all Trinity. So God came to this earth in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. That's how much he was willing to sacrifice his position in heaven. Do you know that Jesus did not have to sit on that cross? Jesus being all powerful, being everything that he had, he didn't have to go through that pain. He didn't have to go through that suffering. He didn't have to go through all of those things. He didn't have to go through the abuse that he took. But he did that because he loved you. The only way that we could have an eternal life with him, the only way that we could be loved forever by God was if Jesus fulfilled that calling that was on his life on that cross and went through everything that he did. I bring all of this up because I want to ask you this very simple question. Do you really know the author of love? Because if you really know the author of love, then your relationship with other people is going to change. If you really know the author of love and you know the sacrifice that he made for you, then when someone does something against you, you're going to be able to take a deep breath and say, you know what? I don't like what they did, but I love that person. The very people that hurt us, the very people that are against us, are the very people that God created and that God loves and calls us to love too. It is a difficult subject because what we are called to as Christians is to walk in the love that comes only from the author of love. And if we are to walk in the author of love, if we are only to walk in that love like him, that means we're going to have to bite our tongues quite a bit. Because what our human minds and what our human mouth wants to say, it's not what the author of love wants you to say. When someone wrongs you, the very first thing that you want to say is, come here, I'm going to throat punch you, right? Or we want to retaliate. We want to get back for what they've done against us. We want to make their life as difficult as they made our life. You know, I think it's Discover has a new car, has a new commercial out, and the gentleman's trying to get the actor to pay for her lunch, and she's sitting there, and she keeps going, "I don't want," and she's coming up with all of these excuses, and then she's like, "Wait a minute, does so and so, this little child that she grew up with, have the same type of card that I have because she also gets cash back?" And she stole my bike when I was a young kid. You guys remember this commercial? I see some of you laughing like, I remember that commercial, right? I'm doing a bad justice of this. But and the gentleman goes, well, yeah, if she has that card, guess what? She gets it too. That's not fair. Think about the people in your life that have wronged you, and then place yourself in that position, because you know what? God loves those people as much as he loves you. That's hard. Do you know that God loves Marilyn Manson as much as he loves you? God loves Hitler as much as he loves you and I? That doesn't mean that he's happy with their decisions that they've made. But God loves them because God is love. Doesn't mean that they've had their sins forgiven. Is that kids in the background? I don't know. This first name came to my mind.
Charles Manson.
Charles Manson, yeah. Marilyn Manson. I got, that's right. Marilyn Manson is a singer, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Aren't we all?
That's funny. All right. Well, either way, I'm sure he sinned and done something wrong. Okay, Becky? All right. There you go. But either way, you know, God loves Charles Manson. There we go. How about that? God loves Charles Manson as much as he loves other people. As much as he loves you and I. Why? Because he's the author of love and he sees the best in us and he wants us to choose to make the right decision. Now, does that mean we do? No, we often fail. And person after person often falls into that temptation and falls into that sin. The propitiation that we talked about in the beginning was Jesus pulling you out of that muck, pulling you out and saying, I'm going to pay the price for you. And so therefore, what I want you to do is understand that I'm going to die on this cross, become your sacrifice, become all of those things, because I love you. And so by knowing the author of love, we can begin to understand how we're supposed to live this life that we live here in this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1 through verse 13. A chapter that you often hear called the love chapter. When Paul writes this chapter, what he's telling us this is that this is how we are supposed to live our life. This is how we're supposed to operate on this earth. And he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I can speak like an angel, listen, I know I have a beautiful voice and I sound like an angel when I sing. But that was a joke, okay? I don't. My wife is the one that has the voice of an angel. I have the voice of Dominic the donkey. Hee-haw, hee-haw. Sorry, I woke up with that song in my head this morning. If you don't know that song, it's an Italian Christmas song that was written in 1960, and my grandmother used to play it for me all the time, but I haven't heard it in 30 years, and I woke up this morning singing this song. I woke up out of bed going, hee-haw, hee-haw. I'm like, what the heck? Okay, but anyway, let me get back. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Paul's saying that if you can speak beautiful, if you can sing beautiful, if you can preach the most amazing sermons, it doesn't matter if it's not done in love. Doesn't mean a simple thing. If I understand, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but not have love, I am nothing. If I have the greatest, look, if I have the greatest love, if I have the greatest faith, if I can move, Paul says, if I can move mountains, how many people do you see moving mountains? How many people do you see prophetic powers, prophetic, all of these things? If you have wisdom, you have understanding, all of these things, none of that matters if you don't have love. Then he goes on to say, if I give all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. If I give away all I have, if I become a martyr for my faith, but I do not have love, then I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when we But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but when face to face, but then face to face, now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have become fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amazing words from Paul that we often say during marriages. But can I tell you today that these words are more important today than they ever have been? What are you doing in love? Are you sharing the author of love? One last thing, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I guess it's just Corey today. I'm going to ask Corey to come forward. For King and Country sang a song not too long ago. It's called "We Are the Proof of His Love." And I love that song and I love those words. Because you know what? There's no more truth than that. If we serve the author of love, which we do, if we're Christians and we've served him because of what he did for us in the propitiation of our sins. How many times? You know how many times I've said that? Four? Yeah, four times. That's right. If we serve him in that way and if we love him in that way and he loves us, then we should understand and know that we are not just being loved by him, but we are called to be the proof of his love here on this earth. It's not just in Valentine's, it's not just in Christmas season, it's not just when you light the unity candle or forget to do it in your sermon, that love is important. Love is important every hour, every minute, every second of every day. Why? Because we are the proof of his love. When you leave this earth, when you leave this room and you go out into the world around us, leaving this earth doesn't have any, when you leave this earth, you'll find out what true love is. Let me put it that way. I'll say that, right? But when we leave this building, and it kind of is the earth for me right now, but when we leave this building and we walk out into the community, when you share his love, you share the proof of his love. You share the things that Jesus has said to us. We become the model of what that love is. We become the model of what he has done. He has chosen you and I to be those examples of love in the world around us. You understand that? As crazy as that could be. That's pretty good, Corey. Thank you. As crazy as that seems, God chose you to be his example of love to this world. So how are you doing? Do you represent his love? Are you the proof of his love? Or are you the proof of his anger? Are you the proof of his love? Or are you the proof of sin in this world? That's the choice that we get to make. We make that choice by following Jesus and then doing what he calls us to do by loving the world around us. Will you stand with me, please? Father in heaven, the author of love, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We thank you that you came to this earth and that you became our sacrifice, that you fulfilled the debt, the propitiation for our sins, Father, on that cross. Because you loved us so much. And so, Lord, we come before you today. We ask you that you would help us to become the proof of your love in the world around us. Help us to share the gospel with those that need to hear that. Father, it starts with understanding the author of love. It starts with understanding you. And so, Father, if there's someone here or someone who's watching at home online that has never given their life to Jesus Christ, then may today be this day where you say, Lord, I want your love in my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn away from my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my King. Be my Savior. And by doing that, we are accepting that love that he has for us. But it doesn't end there. Jesus told us that we are to love the community, love our neighbors, as we love ourselves. To go out into the world and share the love of Christ. To be the examples that this world needs of what it really looks like in biblical Christian love that comes only from God. So I encourage you today, I challenge you today, as we are praying before our God and Father, the author of love, to make a commitment here in this place, to love those people around us, the difficult people, the people that may not seem lovable, the ones that anger us. May we love them. May we choose to love them. May we choose to walk with them. Father, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just remind you something really quickly. There is no one in this world that's not loved by God. That starts with the people that we don't like, but that also starts with us. If you're here today and you feel like you're unlovable, you're not. Jesus paid a price that is priceless. None of us can afford the price that he paid for us. Because why? Because he loves us. And so let me encourage you today, love those around you, even the ones that are difficult to love, but also learn to be allowed to be loved by God himself, because he loves you and he thinks you're priceless.
Let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you live, how you die, what a sacrifice. So let my life be the proof, the proof of your love. If I sin but don't have love, I waste my breath with every song I bring. An empty voice, a hollow noise. If I speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd but don't have love, I leave a bitter taste with every word I say. So let my life be the proof, the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you live, how you die, love is sacrifice. So let my life be the proof, the proof of your love. So let my life be the proof, the proof of your love. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When it's all said and done, whoa, whoa. When we sing our final song, only love remains, only love remains. So let my life be the proof, the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you live, how you died, love is sacrifice. So let my life be the proof, the proof of your love.
Yes, we have a choice today to be that proof, to walk out of this earth, to walk out of this place. I keep saying earth. To walk out of this place. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. To share the love that he has for all of us. Be that proof of his love. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the love that you shared with us. We glorify you. We honor you. Praise you. May you be proud of us, Father, as we attempt to be that proof. The proof of your love, Father, to the world around us. As we go our separate ways, may you bless us with wisdom and strength and courage to be the ones that you've called us to be. Protect us and guide us until bringing us back again next week, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Don't forget that the cookie event is going on now. Let me just tell you real quick. Keep strumming. What I want you to, when you go into the room next door, you will receive a tag. As you taste the cookie and you like the cookie, just place that in the cup of the number that you like. Okay? Feel free to do that whenever. We'll start now. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.